everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another edition of our end of the week roundup for the Music Video Land podcast. My name is Adam Fairholm, one of the co-founders of IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database, and with me as usual is Mr. Doug Klinger. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam. How are you?
Not bad. We are sans Adam Alexander because he feels like it's more important to write his top 10 of the week, but that's okay. We're not going to...
No, top 10 of the year.
Of the year. Oh, that's right. It is sort of the top 10 time, I guess.
It is. We're getting, and why not let Adam Alexander explain his picks? We're going to have a fun weekly year roundup coming up next week, you guys. So look out for that. But and Adam will be contributing to that. And so that's what he's working on now. And as much as I miss him and his presence on the podcast and his insight on the videos of the week, it does make it slightly easier to only have one Adam to be addressing for me. It's easy for you guys. You guys each got an Adam and a Doug to talk to, but I got two Adams, and it makes it tough.
I never saw it from your perspective there. And it's, you know, it's December 5th. We're recording this on Thursday, December 5th, 2013, and we'll release it on Friday, December 6th. Excuse me. But this is the time of the year when everybody goes through their best of lists, and one of the things that a lot of music blogs – blogs that just generally cover music have been doing is releasing their top whatever 20, 50, whatever music videos of the year. And some of those have already come out and they've been interesting. It's a interesting year for music video lists.
Yeah, it's stuff coming from all. There was a lot of overlap. I remember last year there was like a handful of music videos that were pretty much going to be on everybody's list somewhere. You know what I mean? Like if there was a top 10 list, there was probably like a pool of 15 or 20 that everyone was kind of picking from. But
it's all over the place this year.
It's going to be all over the place this year, I feel like, and so it's just great. I mean, you know what I mean? And I haven't seen – it's not like there's been shitty videos on any of the lists. It's just a variety of stuff, unexpected picks, I think is the right way to put it. But it's not like I've seen a lot of videos on this list and it's like this is – like this – a child made this. I haven't thought that at any point.
So. Well, it's – I mean, I guess it depends on what criteria you're kind of judging it by, right? Because there have been so many music videos this year. I think we've seen a definite – I'm not sure what the percentages rise, but –
I mean, we have over 5,600 music videos on the site from 2013. Oh, so that's and we definitely don't have like there, you know, and you know, we try really hard to get as many as possible, and I'm sure that we have the biggest catalog of anybody from 2013. However, we've got blind spots for sure, and so you know, there could be like however many more. But at least 5,600 that we have.
Right, and I feel like our list is interesting because people come from all different perspectives, right? So if there's a music blog that also does videos, then that's pretty much the best of what they thought or the videos
that they
liked.
It's the best of what's on their radar.
Right, of what's on their radar in terms of what music they're listening to and things like that. I think they approach it from a music perspective. I feel like we're approaching it from – I mean, we watch a lot of the stuff that comes in. Obviously, we don't have time to watch everything. But when we're talking like 30, 40 music videos a day, you know, we're skimming a lot of them. I think a lot of the reason why we will sit down and watch a music video is some sort of element that we're interested in, either the concept or a lot oftentimes it's the director or somebody involved or the artist. But like if a Young Replicant video comes out and we have no idea who the artist is, I mean, we're going to sit down and watch that video. So it's – and right. It's I think it's going to be an interesting list. We're going to release ours on Monday, I think, right?
Yes, that's the plan. We'll have a top 10 that we kind of, you know, kind of give a little blurb on why each of those videos is on there, and then we're gonna have a top 50 playlist of the year, and then we've reached out to some, you know, directors and such, and Adam Alexander to put together a top 10 list of their own, so you can kind of get a feel of what kind of people in the industry and stuff think as well, and kind of get their perspective on the best music videos of the year. So we're gonna have a list.
Should we do a top 10 of just Adam's top 10 and Doug's top 10, or should we just do an IMVDB
No,
top
I
10?
think it's going to be an IMVDB. I think we have to bring the we have to put our heads together and have one official list. But oh, and we'll also have some fun superlatives. I know you guys loved those last year. We're going to have some individual awards that go beyond just the top 10 music videos of the year. But really, I you know, like I said, 5,600 music videos. So
so many, it's ridiculous.
So the top 50 is still like, you know, you're talking about the 1%, the 1%ers of the music video industry. No, but definitely like the top 1% of the music videos that came out this year, of our opinion. That's what you're going to find on this top 50 playlist. And there's a lot of good stuff, a lot of fun, good music videos.
I think this is the year that more than any other that we've been operating the site in. It's definitely more than 2011 and I believe more than 2012 that we've really had our ear to the ground of daily releases for a number of reasons. And this is the first sort of end-to-end year that we've done that. So I definitely have my sort of votes for what I want in the top 10. We're going to have that conversation, I guess, Friday over the weekend, and we'll see what happens on Monday.
Yeah, but the top 50, though, I think it'll be easier for us to agree on that. And so that's I think that's where people need to not focus their attention, but you really need to, I mean, to get an idea of like really what the best are, I think you need more than 10.
Definitely. Yeah, 10 is like, way too restrictive.
Yeah, I think it gets a little arbitrary, I think. This is me saying, come look at our top 10 list that I'm calling arbitrary. But seriously, like I think 50 is, I think you'll get a better idea of what this year was about with music videos, with that full 50 list.
Because there's so many different types of music videos. It's kind of like saying your top 10, like, foods, you know? I mean, it could be like a, you know, you could have a top 10 in every sort of nationality of food or genre of food, I guess. Yeah. Or even types of music video.
Yeah, we're still going to throw a 10 at you because, you know, there can be some distinction, but you know, it's just going to be taste wise, but there's going to be something for everyone on that fitty list.
So in terms of, you know, that's the whole year. I think we should talk a little bit about this specific week because we've learned in 2013, a lot can happen in a week.
Oh yeah. And that's what we do on this podcast specifically on this style of our podcast is we talk about this week in music videos. That's what it's called. We even have an I was going to say algorithm and I was going to sort of leave it at that. We have an algorithm. It's a great week. What are we going to do? We're going to talk about the popular ones first. Should we do that?
Yeah. Well, first on the top, I wanted to mention, a director that we've written a lot of blog posts about because London Alley Entertainment has been a great supporter of the site, like almost from pretty much the beginning when we were looking for sponsors. And Colin Tilley, one of the most prolific directors on their roster, directed a Justin Bieber video, one of the top artists out there for All That Matters. And I thought it's currently sitting at number one. And I thought this
safely,
was a
safely,
yeah, by a good like 7 million videos, and we'll talk about 7 million views, and we'll talk about the interesting things happening underneath that in the charts. But this one is definitely the king of the week, and I thought this was actually a really good video. Actually, this is one of those ones I sat the whole way through. I don't do that.
Oh, you watched the whole video?
Yeah, I watched the whole video. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed this video too, actually, and it's definitely like of maturing of Justin Bieber. I wrote the blog post about this video this week, and that's kind of what the focus of it was. You know, we've seen, you know, he started making music videos, tremendously popular, you know, culturally impactful music videos since he was like a kid, literally a kid. And so we've seen kind of a transition period. This is definitely like shedding all of that stuff, even the stuff from last year. It's a little bit older, but it's still like pool parties and like still stuff. You know what I mean, though. It's still
yeah.
Like appeals to like a younger can. Like the subject matter is still kind of youthful, and that's not really the case here in the All That Matters video. It's a very serious, like sexy, you know, video. It's got he's got his shirt off a lot, and he's, you know, moving his body. And then Kaylin Russo is also very not a lot of clothes on her body, and she's standing there in sexy moves. And so it's a grown-up video. It's a big boy video, and I think he's pulling it off.
Yeah, we should mention that Justin Bieber has the number two video of all time in terms of views with Baby. And that was only 3 years ago. That was only in 2010, and it looks a lot different. But this is that video that had that weird, you know, I haven't even really looked into it, but I just vaguely remember this. That weird unofficial video that showed up in World Star Hip Hop where he's on the Great Wall of China. I have no clue why that even existed. Obviously, he was a party to it since he's singing it and he's on the Great Wall of China.
And it was, I can't remember, gosh, I can't remember who the director was, but it was like somebody who was kind of like a relatively prolific director and somebody too who was credited with that video. But it was clearly like just some was not meant to be an official music video, and you know, it got some attention, but it wasn't. Yeah, it's weird. But I think this video is big enough to kind of that will effectively push that out of people's memories.
But I mean, this is definitely like a Colin Tilley, and I don't mean to this in a derogatory way at all. But Colin Tilley definitely has a style where it's a very like setup based style.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely not like a. I would be surprised, let's say, the day that I like a narrative Colin Tilley video comes across.
There's been a few. It's just not for this type of artist, right? Colin Tilley, you know, does a lot of music videos, and you know, some of the hip hop stuff and some of the stuff that he does in like, you know, electronic music. Some of those music videos. What was that Big Dipper one? You remember that had like the robbery and stuff. It was still very setup based, like you're talking about, but there was a lot of narrative elements to it as well. But I think I think this is the move you make with Justin Bieber. Like, do you remember the Drake video for Hold On, I'm Going Home or whatever that song is called, and how like we were talking about how that video was too. Like too narrative for a song that doesn't really call for that type of music video. You know, I love a great narrative music video. When the song kind of complements it, but sometimes like, you know, the way that a song is set up, you just kind of need to have these images kind of complement the music. And that was that, like, that's what you do for this music video right here. It's the right fit. It seems like.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I thought that this definitely was like a, Colin Tilley was the right guy to direct this, it mm-hmm. felt like. It was definitely like it kept the Colin Tilley style, but it really merged well with the song. Because it's definitely, I mean, it's less of I don't want to say radio-friendly song, because it's obviously very produced and very, you know, meant to be radio-friendly. But in context of what's being played on the radio right now, I don't think it's really that target. I think it's more for Justin Bieber fans. And I mean, this is a showcase of Justin Bieber. He's more than shirtless and
he's out there, yeah. He's out there,
and like I said, he's thrusty. He's thrusty.
He is thrusty. So now, in the blog post I wrote about this video, I draw Miley comparisons, partially because of the thrustiness, but you know, also because they were like both kind of child stars who kind of are making the transition into like grown up style music and imagery for themselves, kind of in similar ways, right? And they're using like similar methods to get out of there, and so I'm drawing those comparisons. Do you think like those comparisons? Am I the only one making those comparisons?
You're the only one I've heard so far making those comparisons, but I think they make sense. I think it's just because of their genders; it's completely different in terms of what they need to do. I mean, for me, Miley was so ridiculously effective at kind of shaking off her previous image. You know, through kind of sheer shock value and sheer, I guess, going in a sort of an artsy way. And Justin Bieber, I don't think that wouldn't be the right path for him. I think this is more the right path. This sort of, you can already hear the definite, like, kind of more R&B style to his music. It's less.
Yeah, for sure. Like Chris Brown out, like a lot of Chris
exactly,
Brown.
Exactly, yeah.
And, like, the way he's carrying himself in the music video, too, mm-hmm. it feels very Chris Brown. But, but he's doing shock value stuff outside of his public, like.
I don't know if that's on purpose, though.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. Like, Miley is like my art you know, my music and my imagery when I'm performing my music is going to shock you. Whereas Justin's just like peeing in buckets when he's outside of music videos. I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Because if you were to just compare their music, yeah, like they have the same, like the reason I'm drawing the comparison is like they have the similar elements and they're both kind of taking like a hip hop kind of turn as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and although it's tough to say that it's a turn because Ludacris was in that baby song also, but like Bieber himself is like, it's definitely like he's covered in tattoos now. And, you know, it's just, it seems to have like that hit, like a very hip hop influence to me. And Miley's kind of got that going too. And so I think that there's comparisons there as well. But like in Miley videos, Miley is the model, you know what I mean? Like she's like the lady, obviously, in the videos, whereas Justin's like those elements are in his videos, but he's obviously not that. And so you're right, like the gender does play a part in it.
Well, and actually, it's funny you mentioned that because as I was looking through this week, this is a week that for some reason everybody decided to pull out the sexy lady card.
There's a lot of sexy ladies.
Huge week for, and that it is usually, I usually, you know, see one or two videos a week that definitely has that, but this is like a lot of much more than usual.
And it's also a very blue week if in the top 10, especially if you look at like the screenshots and all the top 10 videos, they all have a very bluish tint to them. In the Lord video, the Fall Out Boy. Now maybe it's just a screenshot. Well, it's this, it's the winter, right? Like the summer, everything's all orange and bright and you know, lit by the sun, and now we're in the winter. And
well, then we should talk about the number two video of this week, because this was a little bit of a surprise for me. This came across the, I think I either added this or approved this, Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike.
I always hate when videos come up with the word "and" in the artist title because they make it really difficult to know what the fuck to call them or do with them.
Yeah, it's a problem we're addressing.
But continue. This is a video with a butt in the middle of the screenshot.
Yeah, so
in order
I think
to play it, you have to click your mouse on a butt.
And I thought it was the dude's butt for a long time until I watched the video, because I didn't watch it initially.
Yeah.
And
you're like, strangely attracted to this dude's butt.
Yeah, no offense to this lady, but if you squint your eyes, because she's wearing a shirt that looks like
she's wearing a man's shirt, right. Yeah.
So anyway, this is just a weird, so this is an electronic song, electronic dance music song. I don't know anything about those genres, so I'm just guessing.
Yep.
Stampede.
Adam's really good at that, finding out what genre it is.
Yeah, we need him on the genres a little bit, because I'm just like, it's got a beat to it.
It's a dance to it, you know, drugs.
And so this video is really, so the reason I think this video is interesting is because Lorde has had the number one song in the nation on the Billboard Hot 100 for 8 weeks, from, you know, carrying into late summer into the early fall. And she released the video for Team earlier this week, and for some reason it's behind this video. I don't understand why. The video that for Team is fantastic. It's directed by Young Replicant, and it's an unbelievable video.
Here's the thing. Stampede is going to fall off the list tomorrow.
Oh, really?
So Stampede,
how did I not notice that?
Stampede came out on the 29th.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. So anyway, so Stampede is about this dude, dad-style type guy, drinking. She should be drinking hard liquor, but he's drinking some sort of red wine like a pussy. And and suddenly these four ladies show up at the door and they're partying and stuff. And he's at his house, and he, you know, there's pictures of his wife and his daughter, who's like 14, all around the house. And he starts to have a bit of a breakdown, I guess, because he doesn't want to cheat on his wife or something. I don't know. That's what I got from this. Weird video, but very entertaining. And then at the end, it turns out it's all a dream, and he's actually in bed in his red pajamas. And they're like 14-year – who would a 14-year-old daughter jumps on the bed? I do not know, but this is happening in this video. And I don't know. This is just a pretty weird addition to the list. I thought it was fun. I guess I'm not a dad, so I don't know if I can relate as much. But maybe this is
–
maybe these are dad feelings.
Yeah, no, you have to channel your inner dad or your inner person who like who dreams about like their actual life. Like I don't know about you, but when I have dreams, like I'm not like in my actual living room. Like it's not just like my family doing different stuff than what my normal family does. My dreams are wild. I don't know what I'm talking about, because that's not even true. My dreams are just me sitting in an empty room on a chair.
Going through the video queue,
Right,
and you're like,
right.
that's not a, that's that that credit doesn't seem right.
No, right. And so I checked, and this video was not directed by M. Night Shyamalan. So we don't have a director credit, but the twist, it got me. I was like,
Ooh,
oh
yeah. Well,
shit. But it wasn't, it is a fun video, and I'm not surprised that it was popular
is the
given
butt.
the butt in the screenshot. And it's, you know, it's not a, it, it was, it's a fun video. It
It
is a
is
fun video.
a fun video, yeah, and it's
And it's like this type of music, you know, you either have to give them this type of video or you have to go like full balls out, like Simon Cash level, you know, narrative stuff. Was it like those are your two routes, or like crazy special effects?
or like yeah, or a bunch of weird graphics. That's the
Yeah.
other, yeah. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed that video this week, and we need to change the way we do charts, because I'm tired of this dropping off the thing, the chart thing.
Well, no, I mean it makes sense. We should just start recording at midnight instead of 11.
No. I have a whole new way for I think for how we're gonna
Ooh,
do charts.
I'm ready to hear it.
Now, should I explain to you now? Just a quick thing is, and I'll give people a little preview, and
Okay.
that is the reason that we do charts this way is actually because if we did charts with the whole, the reason we do it for all new videos is because if we looked at all the music videos in the database and then did like views for that week based on the entire database, then we would have had a Psy video, either Gangnam Style or Gentleman, at number one for weeks, months, basically,
Yeah, the whole time.
from when we started the chart. So that has changed now.
It would be Wrecking Ball today.
It would be Wrecking Ball, and it would be actually Psy would be down there. So now, they've been the outlier, definitely by far. And now that Psy is kind of not pulling in those numbers anymore, and we have a more representative thing, I think we can go to more of a Billboard system where we're looking at where, like a Christmas video from 10 years ago could climb up the charts because people are watching it. I mean, that stuff does happen in the Billboard.
I think that we should definitely be able to expand on that for sure. I think we should still be able to tr we should still keep tracking the weeks, the single week.
I think we should still do keep track of the week. Yeah,
The new
it's.
stuff, I think it should be a separate, like we should look at the data in all sorts of ways. That's the power of the databases, that we can kind of check it out in all sorts of stuff. So it can be the hot stuff, the new stuff. But then also like, yeah, because like Miley Cyrus "Wrecking Ball," that music video was watched 9 million times this week. You know, that's just as many times as Bieber was watched, basically. So,
Yeah, I think we need to kind of rethink a little bit how we're doing that, just to get a more representative view, because that's important. If Wrecking Ball is at the top of the charts for 10 weeks, and I think we need to
we should
say
talk
so.
about that too. But I think what we're looking at now, what we look at, you know, because we're focusing on the new videos, and so these are the most popular, you know, of those new videos, of this week's videos. And so yeah, I think we should still keep talking about it. But and so the next most popular of this week's videos is "Team" by Lorde. You talked about it a little bit before, directed by Young Replicant, and I think this is a fantastic video. This is probably my favorite Lorde video.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Lorde is kind of an interesting case because she, like I said, she's had this massive, massive success in the US. But she hasn't really had a music video to go along with that. And there's nothing against Joel Cafali's two videos for Royals and Tennis Court, which are both fantastic videos. The original version of Royals didn't even have Lorde in it at all, much. They released a new US version that had her more in there, and Tennis Court features her heavily.
Just standing there.
Right, yeah, but there wasn't really like a roar that was like a big kind of show tuned kind of number, or something that was more of a narrative piece, or like a something that was more stuck in people's head a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that I think that both of the other music videos still like feature the song as at the forefront, and which is
Right.
fine. I mean, Royals is still, we were just looking at the top music videos overall for the week, and Royals is right in there. You know what I mean? There, it's in that mix. People are still going to watch that video, and to listen to the song as well. But I feel like Team is, for me, the first Lorde music video that makes an impact along with the song, and not like, to complement the song specifically.
Yeah, and I think one of them is that so the kind of concept of I'm not really sure if I could explain the concept of it. Doug, you want to explain a little bit?
Well, she kind of did you see like she kind of gives a little bit of background on where the idea came from? On her Facebook page, let's pull that up and talk about that, because it is a little it's a narrative video for sure, but it's there's a lot going on.
Some jousting, some jousting.
Yeah, so she said on she says on Facebook, we're on each other's team. This video was born from a dream I had a few months ago about teenagers in their own world, a world with hierarchies and initiations, where the boy who was second in command had acne on his face, and so did the girl who was queen. I dreamt about this world being so different to anything anyone had ever seen, a dark world full of tropical plants and ruins and sweat. And of this world, I dreamt about tests that didn't need to be passed in order to be allowed in. Sometimes the person who loses is stronger.
It's a very
Enjoy.
that's well there I think that explains it better than we could.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's very interesting. She w when you see a music video like this for an artist who's had the number one song, on the charts, for them to have for a video that's like kind of pretty high concept, for that concept to seem, at least based on this Facebook post, to have come directly from Lorde's head. So that's very interesting of how involved she was, at least conceptually, with this music video.
And have you talked to Young Replicant yet?
Not yet, but hopefully soon. Hopefully next week you guys will find more out.
I'm really enjoying the fact that Royals is number one in the US and has been for, so many weeks, because it's such a different song and Lorde is such a different artist. I think the whole late summer fall kind of landscape would look really, really different if Lorde wasn't in the picture. And I think it's definitely for the better that she is. And I think that it's really interesting, especially in all her TV appearances, the way she's styled. She just definitely has her own style. I think the kind of style that people think of when you think of Lorde is definitely reflected in the tennis court video. But this definitely is a different one. She's got some sort of it's a very flowy sort of pilgrim-like costume on.
Yeah, it's very pilgrim inspired.
And she's always kind of singing about her being the queen. It's kind of a theme that comes up in a lot of her songs, and she's definitely kind of positioned as the leader here. She's watching everybody go around and drink from the jug of blue liquid, whatever that is. I think that may be a part of the dream, but it's just a it's a and when she said there's plants and stuff like that, there's definitely some ferns hanging around there. It's just a very interesting video, and I think it's a testament to the fact that she still is pretty in control of what is, being released in her name, artistic output wise. This is definitely not a like, all the executives get together and figure out what's going to make Lorde, go to the next level kind of thing.
Right.
This is definitely
No.
like a high concept piece. Young Replicant, excuse me, Young Replicant is a fantastic director. I was really excited to see his name attached to this.
Yeah, definitely. And right. It's not like it's not like a Selena Gomez style.
Yeah, this may be like the most covered we've seen a female pop star
Right.
in in the last few months. So that was a great video. And it had a little weird intro because it wasn't playing for a lot of people when it first came out. And Lorde, I think, I mean,
Yeah,
she was like,
she
we
added
tried.
some folklore to it.
Yeah, she was
You guys
like,
like broke Vivo, and they had to close their office. It was very DJ Khaled of her.
Yeah, she was she on the phone with the CEO of iTunes?
Yeah, she was. She was on the phone with him. No, but yeah, the video wasn't playing initially, and I also think that it led to some downvotes of the video because, of course, like the video is playing for nobody. Nobody can watch the video, but it's got 2,000 upvotes and like 150 downvotes on YouTube. Nobody's been able to watch this video. They've just been able to vote for it, and you can see like a bunch of people just voted they liked it anyway because it's a Lorde video, and a bunch of people were just upset that it wasn't playing, and so they decided to download it.
But I don't think they actually. I have a feeling that it was more of a processing error because it was you could you saw the ad fine and YouTube doesn't go down.
Right, you don't crash Vivo.
You don't
Because
crash
if
Vivo
it
over
did,
YouTube.
like yeah, Lorde, probably a ton of people wanted to go watch that video, but a ton of people wanted to go watch All That Matters when it came out too. And like Lorde was kind of counting it down. She was like, "Oh, it's going to be out in 2 hours." And then she kind of posted the link without obviously watching the video first. But still, like, just other artists and other music videos come out with an equally as high, if not higher demand. All That Matters would be a perfect example. And that didn't, crash Vivo. So
Yeah, YouTube is one of the top five sites in the world. No offense to Lorde, but she's not gonna. I mean, they're pushing terabytes of data out by the minute. So there's it definitely seemed like a processing error. Maybe she posted a link too soon. I know that after the thing goes up on, and it's weird. Well, she definitely posted the YouTube link at first, not the Vivo link, right?
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I keep saying they crashed Vivo, but like it was on YouTube. It was hosted on YouTube. It wasn't the Vivo direct link.
Which is, I don't understand why sometimes it takes so long to get on YouTube after Vivo.
Well, I think it's because with the Vivo direct link, you can make it only work on a single domain, where once it's on YouTube, it's kind of there,
Yeah.
and anyone can embed it. So I think that people just get premieres. Anyone, random websites get premieres. So QVC.com is still my place to get a premiere. So any of the this week's popular videos, make an impact on you?
Well, we should mention that a new edition of the Fall Out Boy
Yeah, definitely.
saga came out.
We've talked about that previously.
Where did wait, we did?
No, not this ep. No, I'm saying that we've talked about this series on previous episodes.
Oh, right, yes. This is number 7 of 11. For Where Did the Party Go? Which was exciting. I feel like we shouldn't belabor the point and go through each step of the way. I feel like it's coming to a kind of a narrative climax. So we should kind of let people take a look for themselves because
Yeah, go check it.
this is kind of a bridge episode in terms of narrative. So you should definitely check it out. But I'm just excited they're still going on with it. I mean, this has been it's going to be coming up on a year that they've been releasing these videos, I think.
Yeah, I maybe they've got to already all be done, and that they just put it out slowly. But they're it's not like you know it's not like they're it's not like trapped in the closet where like where's one episode where it's like should I drink out this water? Like it's not like stupid stuff. It's just like literal filler. It is still like an actual narrative, not just ridiculousness.
So one of the other videos that came out is another sort of annual tradition, which is the Killers Christmas music video, which comes out every year. Did you check this one out?
I did. It's got Owen Wilson
Or animated Owen Wilson,
and a regular Owen
and a
Wilson
regular, yeah, regular
and
vanilla
Harry
Owen.
Dean Stanton.
So they've been doing this for a few years, and it benefits charity. And 2011 was the Cowboys Christmas Ball, directed by Robichaubo, which we talked to him about that in a previous podcast. And then I think the other one was I'm looking at their list here and I can't see it. The other Christmas one. The one with the Santa on the motorcycle. You know what I'm talking about.
I saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus.
That's it. Yeah.
No.
Maybe it was just that one, the Cowboys Christmas Ball.
No, I think they've done more. And
Yeah, they've
they've
definitely
done
done a
more.
few.
They've done more. I don't remember either, though.
Hold on, it's in this list. I don't know why I can't find
It's
it.
on their web. It's on our website that we have.
Well, it's
I mean, we only have, so we don't have 2010s, obviously, because we only have boots from 2010. Unless it's boots. Could it be
I
boots?
feel it in my bones. Directed by
There it
Robo
is.
Shobo.
No,
That's
wait, so
it.
boots from 2010 is also one.
Oh, it is? Okay, I didn't know that was a
Yeah,
Christmas
if you
one.
play boots from 2010, it starts with what's that movie where the guy where he dies? It's a Wonderful Life. It starts with that. So that's, I'm assuming that we're looking at also another one. So boots.
So this one is called
Jared Hess, directed by Jared Hess, who also directs Napoleon Dynamite.
Really? I didn't know he directed a music video. There
Yep,
you go.
two. We've got two, the Postal Service and boots.
There you go. I learned something, everybody. So this one is called Christmas LA and LA, and this is kind of a more emotional one. The other ones were kind of a little more funnier, a little campier. This one's this I don't know if it's trying to tug your heartstrings, but it's definitely got a bit of a lonely feeling to it. It's about Owen Wilson being a writer in LA that he's not coming home for Christmas. He's spending it there, and about how lonely LA is in Christmas, at Christmas.
Man, I wonder if it's true. I hear that there is like a Christmas break in that town. I wonder if it's super lonely, which makes me really sad.
It is a little sad, but there's no resolution at the end. It's not like Owen Wilson decides to get on a plane and go see his parents.
But the resolution is we all know that it's actually Owen Wilson.
Yeah, I know Wilson's sitting alone, stirring
No,
hot
he's
chocolate
fine.
by
He's doing
himself.
great. He's not stirring hot chocolate. No, he's not.
Wilson has someone to stir hot chocolate for him.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I hope.
He's got a hot chocolate stir.
This is a good one. This is directed by Kelly
Lucy.
Lucy, I believe. I guess how you pronounce her name. L-O-O-O. No, L-O-O-S-I. And definitely has. And who is Harry Dean Stanton? I don't even know who that
He's
is.
a man. He's in a man. He's a male actor. If you pull him up, we've got his picture on our website. If you see him, you'd know him.
I recognize him. He's the guy in the bar.
He's in such films as Paris, Texas, Dillinger, Kelly's Heroes, Alien.
Now there's a weird thing in this video that I'm not sure if this is intentional or not, but my wife is very, very interested in cheap Chris TV made for TV Christmas movies. The cheaper
No, who's not?
the cheaper the better. So I've been seeing a lot of those lately, and I'd say a good 30% of them revolve around the Groundhog Day plot where they relive either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and they all resolve in exactly the same way. But this one had a little bit of a touch of that. Didn't when Owen Wilson kept going back to the bar and sitting down and the guy was getting up in different ways. I'm not sure if that was just them filling up time because they had different takes or if there was a little bit
Yeah.
of a hint at a little bit of a ABC Family Christmas stuck on
It could
Christmas
be.
Day.
No, I'm not dismissing that as a possibility. So, I'm on board with your theory. I've subscribed to it. So,
Wow, you bought into that wholeheartedly,
I
right
did
there.
completely. We do have in our in the top list, we have a staff pick. Lord Is Out of Control by Mogwai. I hope that's how you say it. But I was gonna ask, this was a video that I was going to save for Adam Alexander to describe.
Well, do an impression of Adam. Say what would be, and I'll. What would? I didn't even watch this video, so you got to describe it.
This is a great video. I'm Adam Alexander, a Canada. Tom, what's that place called that he eats at? Denny's?
What? You talking about Tim Hortons?
Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons. I used to remember that. Okay, let's talk about some of these other great videos from this week. Some of the staff pickaroonies. Do you have a favorite from this week?
I'm not sure if I have a favorite for this week, actually. Let me look at our best new music videos.
We've got two videos from Ben Fee represented here in the best music videos of the week list. Did you watch both of those?
No, but Rocks came out this week by K-Fly. But just real quick, before we mention the Ben Fee ones, I would like to mention that one of my favorites this week is another Group Love video by Cameron Duddy, Shark Attack.
That is definitely my favorite of the week.
Favorite of the week?
We can talk about it now.
So this one, Cameron Duddy has done another Group Love video for Shark Attack. Sorry. God damn it. What the hell's wrong with my speaking voice today? Cameron Duddy has done another music video for Group Love called Ways to Go, which was a hilarious video. And he just came out with a new one called Shark Attack. Also, both done with production company Boulevard Industries. And Doug, why don't you explain a little bit of this video?
Oh man, I can very easily do that. There hasn't been a week that's gone by where I've watched a video more than I've watched this Group Love video. I've watched this video easily 10 times this week because it gets me every time. Like, all of the parts that I thought were funny the first time I watched it, I still think are so funny and laugh out loud at them. And I really like the song, too, actually. It's a really good song. But so the concept of this video, this is another video with a relatively recognizable celebrity, John Hawks, I think is how you say his name. He was he played Kenny Powers' brother on Eastbound and Down, HBO show, but he also has been in a lot of films. He's in the film like Me and Everyone We Know or something, weird movie. He's, you know, he does a lot of indie movies. He can be a character actor sometimes, but he's a great actor. And he plays like a very disheveled magician who's got an equally disheveled and much older assistant, who's one of my favorite characters in this video. And anyway, he kind of sucks at magic. He first makes the band Group Love appear on stage, and then he attempts to make them disappear. And instead of making them completely disappear, he causes them to change places with other bands. Initially a mariachi band, and then when he tries to switch him back out after the mariachi band threatens him with the switchblade, he then replaces Group Love with a Ugandan heavy metal band. And then he's threatened by a machete to switch him back. And then finally, of course, he brings the band back on the stage, partially accidentally, but also on purpose. But the video's a lot of fun. The band gives like such a good performance in the video, not just in the way they're playing their instruments, but they're also like actually pretty interesting to watch as they do that. They're really energetic in their performances and they're interesting looking people, but also they like play it really funny. Like they're super funny in the video as well. But the everyone's great. It's such a super funny, fun video, and it's definitely my favorite from this week.
And this video is one of those videos where I think a lot of it hinges on a few details. And one of the details that I really enjoyed was the Group Love never even reacts to anything. Like they are transported through space and time, and they just, like, there is not even like a, you know, in the hands of another director, I think that didn't get it as much. If this was, you know, a director that wasn't as talented as Cameron Duddy, the band would be like, oh, where are we? Oh boy. Like, and they would have been reacting and stuff like that. But Group Love played completely straight, no matter what.
Yeah.
And there was also the people in the audience of the mariachi band.
The people in the audience in general, the mariachi audience is a little bit more natural. And then like the Ugandan heavy metal audience hams it up a little bit more in their reactions. But like, there's like a lot of like things that tie together between the two. So like in the mariachi band, it almost looks like there might be at a wedding or something, because there's a lot of people at tables kind of watching the band and they're all dressed nicely. And then like this one really big mean looking dude just like stands up and grabs a bottle, and instead of like going at the band with the bottle, he just smashes it on his own head. And then at the Ugandan heavy metal concert, just like the whole audience just starts smashing bottles over their own head. And so, yeah, it's, God, it's such a funny video. It's such a funny video. I believe you should be looking out for another Group Love Cameron Duddy collab in the near future.
Nice. I did not know that.
Now you do.
So then there was another. We should talk about the both Ben Fee ones because you posted an article. You did an interview with him with N. Kayflay about Rocks, and I actually was not familiar with Kayflay before this, but I'm definitely a fan now. And this was a video that featured her. A lot of slow motion stuff, and one of them is her getting these colors poured on her head,
right?
Color paint colors. And she's wearing this sort of like older style, like 80s blouse. It's a really weird video. It's definitely like a concept kind of video. And this has the hairless kitty too.
Yeah, it's got the hairless cat. It's got the lady with the flower head. There's some meat being thrown at people's faces. It's a lot going on in this video, but it's all like very visually interesting. And Kayflay is also really awesome as it in like performing and swinging your head around violently, and also getting weird ooze poured on her. Which, if you read the interview that we did with Kayflay and Ben Fee, you can find out what that stuff was made out of. That's called a teaser in our business.
I edited this article. I still can't remember what it's made out of.
It's like a combination of like milk and cream and food coloring and stuff. And Kayflay even says that it like messes with their skin in a really weird way. So that's interesting. But yeah, it's a really fun video. We love to interview Ben Fee. Look out for an interview about the Typhoon video he directed this week as well, because that's coming up. But
Ben Fee, I think we've done maybe four or five interviews, or you've done, and I've read them, interviews with Ben Fee.
Well, you've done one because he's been on this podcast.
That's right, yeah.
But then, yeah, subsequently for the blog, we've done a few with just him, a few with him and Pete Lee.
But they've all been really entertaining.
Yeah, he's really great. He's really the interviews are always a lot of fun, but also really like informative and interesting. So it's great. So look out for similar fun when he talks about his Typhoon Young Fathers video, which is also a really great video. Just came out today. It's a really great song as well. I really enjoyed this song. An interesting tidbit of knowledge, the monster in this, the creature slash monster in this music video is played by, I'm going to say his name wrong, Stealth Ulvang. And he actually plays in the, when Lumineers, which is a three-piece band, when they travel, they have a larger band, and he's in that larger band.
Oh, now that's a trivia tidbit.
That's good. I didn't say the man's name correctly at all. But yeah, and he actually co-wrote the Lumineers music video for Stubborn Love with Isaac Ravishankara.
Oh, nice.
Co-wrote that video. So
one of the other picks that I wanted to talk about was Collider by John Hopkins, directed by Tom Haines. And this is the one of the young lady kind of on a rampage tear. Did you? Well, you picked it, so you obviously watched it.
Yes, definitely. It's an very interesting video. It's kind of like the same thing happening in two places, or maybe she's imagining this. It's tough to know exactly what's going on because they're kind of cutting between her kind of doing the exact same things in two different places, one in like a club with people around her and one alone, kind of like in an empty warehouse type setting.
Yeah, and this, for some reason, this video reminded me of the Prodigy video for Smack My Bitch Up. I don't know why. I think maybe it's because, I think if you haven't seen Smack My Bitch Up, go see it or go watch it. And it's a point of view of somebody, you know, throughout this night where they go out and they're really kind of abrasive. They're like, you know, causing all sorts of trouble and, you know, in really violent ways. And at the end, you kind of assume that's a dude. And then at the end, you see it's a woman. And it's, you know, plays on gender roles and stuff like that and makes you kind of see the earlier part of the video in a different light. And this kind of had a little bit of the same effect for me, because this person is like, she's like grabbing dudes and making out with them.
Yeah, she's very aggressive with people, throwing people around and stuff.
She just like grabs it, and then, you know, she makes out with this guy and he doesn't want to at first, and then he goes with it, and then she just like throws him to the ground. And
she smacks him into it.
Yeah.
She like slaps it in the face.
And then she goes and she just like grabs this bottle and takes a swig of it. She's definitely like, she goes on the dance floor and starts kind of pushing people around, and it definitely reminded me of Smack My Bitch Up for some reason. But the added element, obviously this is not sort of a first person, you're aware it's this woman. And like you said, the added element of these really fast, everything is really fast cut in this video, and it's a little jarring to watch, but still enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but it was a really interesting element of the video.
And it's shot by Steve Annis, who's we've also interviewed for the blog, and is definitely one of the most prolific directors of photography there is out there. He's worked with Young Replicant, like we talked about before, Vincent Haycock, Fred and Nick, Ellis Ball, Andreas Nielsen, you know, everybody who is awesome. All those peeps.
All the sweet dudes.
All sweet bros. And so there's also three kind of effects heavy videos that we picked this week, and I wanted to kind of touch on those really quick. The first one was that I want to talk about was Overdose by Little Daylight. Did you check this one out?
I did, yes.
And I think that this was a pretty awesome video. It's kind of the effects are the forefront. There's not really a narrative. It's just computer generated effects with some accompanying some very attractive people. Did you enjoy this video, Adam?
I did. I enjoyed attractive people. I think it's better than ugly people.
Sure.
And these were, you know, sometimes I feel like videos are throwing the effects out just because they can, but this one definitely had like a really interesting visual element to it, especially with the, you know, the black and white people and like the color stuff coming into the frame.
Yeah,
it was a really interesting video.
Some of the effects were just so cool to look at. Like I just like this video. I was like, what? Like that was like getting really excited about some of the stuff. Like it was just like just kept building on itself. And so yeah, I really enjoyed that one. And another really fun one was Run for Cover by, I think he's pronounced Cassette. This would be another place where Adam Alexander would tell us how to pronounce the name of the band.
I think it's Cassette.
Cassette, you know, something like that. There's a couple of Z's, a couple of T's, and a couple of E's. Oh, this word. But the concept of this video is there's like a dude essentially fighting like a big monster made of crows, essentially. And the effects are also really, really awesome in this video as well. So if you want to see like a dude fighting like a big ass monster made of birds.
Well, he's more running from it.
Yeah, but he's like taking it on too, you know.
Yeah, if you're afraid of birds, this might be a little bit difficult to watch.
It's like Ghostbusters meets The Matrix meets a music video.
Meets the birds. Meets some pigeons.
Why did I not say birds? Because no, I was thinking that it's. I don't think it's got Ghostbusters and The Matrix, and I don't think it's got any of those. Birds. Birds. It's a great video though. I really enjoyed that one too. Directed by Sebastian Ringler, who recently directed a really cool video for Avicii with similar special effects and some skates. There's skates in that video.
Oh, that video. He did that video too. You Make Me. That was a great video. That's one of our picks as well. That was a fantastic video.
Yeah, no, it was. It was fun. And so that was good. And then we've got another video that came out today that we staff picked, Starcadian Chinatown, directed by Starcadian and Rob O'Neill. And those two gentlemen we interviewed and met when we were at South by Southwest. And we talked to them about their music video for Heart. And Chinatown is essentially a follow-up to the Heart video. These are a little bit different inspired effects. They're like more lo-fi, 80s style, you know, VHS influenced effects, but still very effects heavy music video, and another great one to check out. Did you check this one out?
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out, is it, it's supposed to be taking place in Las Vegas, right? Is, am I right there? It feels like it is. Or maybe it's a futuristic city of no sort of origin, because it's got the...
It's supposed to be Chinatown.
Because it's got the Luxor style pyramid there.
No, it does. Yeah, no, you're right. It does. I think it's kind of.
It's actually got a lot. It's got a lot of recognizable buildings in there. If I'm looking at the screenshot of the other building, it's got that giant, you know, one from the Mission Impossible movie from Dubai. It's got a lot of stuff jammed in there.
Yeah, this is definitely the future, right? I think at the very beginning in the video.
Well, no. It says 1995.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Well, it's a play on sort of older, you know.
Yeah, no, because this is supposed to be the 80s.
Right. And remember, like, Terminator, I think, you know, takes place, the future is like 1985.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because it says the future, 1995. It literally says that. So, you're right.
But this is a great video. I love these sort of retro. Now, I hesitate to call them retro because they're not retro in kind of a traditional sense. They're more of homage to a kind of a look and feel from a certain era. Because it's not like there is a little bit of VHS fuzz on this, a little bit, but it's not like it's gratuitous. It is very sort of kind of lovingly done in a way that. You know, and I think in the interview even Rob and Sarkadian definitely talked about how they love that aesthetic from that era, and not to the point where it's breaking down too much, but just kind of the right amount.
They're more like when you watch a video like Franz Ferdinand Evil Eye, directed by Diane Martel, that's kind of from the perspective of you found something from that era, like a VHS from the 70s, and you watched it today. I think that the Chinatown is more like you're in the 80s to yourself, and you're watching this video in the 80s, and you're in that mindset of like you just rented this from a video store, and you know it's like a different. I think it's from a different perspective of like of who the viewer is watching it. That's kind of how I feel about it.
I definitely agree. Yeah, because I think we forget that. Like, I definitely forget that there was a time when I would like rent a movie on a VHS tape, and at the time, it was just like the quality that was out there. But if we popped in a VHS now, we'd be horrified.
I literally remember going. Probably with you to Blockbuster and getting you'd have to get you'd rent like Total Recall, and then after the movie we'd like rewind it to find the three boobs scene. That's Chinatown. The concept of having to rewind a VHS to find the three boobs scene in Total Recall. That's the mindset of the viewer of Chinatown.
And yeah, for some reason, when we were renting movies from Blockbuster, there were a lot of dystopian and future movies that were on the shelves, but they weren't new. It was like all the dystopian future stuff from like the 80s and late 70s that was kind of hanging around. The Blockbuster just seemed to have a lot of in stock.
Yeah, no, they did. It's like they had like those sections, like the new releases along the wall, sure. But like if you went into like the horror or sci-fi section of Blockbuster, oh man, when it was, especially when it was VHS, you see a lot of weird shit that like Clint Howard starred in.
it's just so, I mean, I think it's just a testament to the decade we just got out of just how different shit was.
Yeah,
even like 10 years ago, where you would go to a room that had all sorts of stuff that Blockbuster had bought, and you paid to rent, and like even it was like, hold on, I want to watch something. I got hold on. Somebody has a room near me that I will drive to that has a bunch of videos. But even just like the, you know, I remember, when DVDs came out in like 1998 or so, and thinking that was just like. Like holy shit! Like the future has arrived. You know,
movies here we on are.
Disc. And like no rewinding, and you know that was in the grand scheme of things, that was basically yesterday, 1998.
I still have DVDs that I'm trying to get rid of. I can't They're completely worthless. Completely worthless. And I remember, oh man, the people who to get like the when we I worked at Blockbuster when they literally phased out the VHSs, like they had them on the shelves and then they stopped renting them and like sold them all. And like how upset people would be. This isn't anything to do with anything, but how upset. What do you mean you don't have VHS anymore? And just get so angry at me.
You were the problem, Doug.
I did it.
But I think that there's that, like I think in like 30 years there's gonna be a lot of this, like the people who, you know, everybody on Earth pretty much who was alive and cognizant of what was going on over the last 15 years, we have a lot of shit to tell people.
Oh, yeah.
Because like I you know if you think it's bad now when, you know, people are coming up to us or in like their, you know, 60s saying, you know, when I was your age, you know, such and such, I mean, there's been some changes. And I
Yeah.
think that, you know,
When I was your age, there wasn't an internet. We're gonna get to say that to people. So.
that's, I think we're one of the last generations that can. And then it's, you know, coming back to the video, you know, Rob and Sarkadian are not that much older than us. And they're reaching back to not a period that they weren't, didn't witness or weren't a part of at all, but something that was important to them, you know, nostalgia wise, and definitely like, important to us, I think, a little bit less because I think they're reaching back into the 70s, late 70s, and early to mid 80s a little bit more. But, you know, this is still stuff that's in our kind of recent past. And I think that's what makes it interesting. It's still stuff that's kind of relatable.
Yeah, totally, definitely.
It's not like they made it, you know, Sarkadian, and it's like, you know, old silent films with the title cards in there.
No, or not even like 70s. You know what I mean? It's stuff that like, it's stuff that is still in a lot of people's kind of personal memories, you know. So yeah, you're totally right about that. So what do we got? We got anything else that we definitely got to talk
I
about?
think that's it. I think that was a. We're heading into the end of 2013. This has been a. I think we are going to do a podcast wrap-up show for that year 2013. I think we definitely have to do that.
Yeah, so there'll probably be a bunch of podcasts coming out next week. We'll still do your regular week in review, but I think because like last year, you know, we do a little paragraph on why we picked each video of the top 10. But yeah, I think it's worthy to kind of have us talk it out a little bit, and people want to listen to that, they definitely should. And then also looked at next week, we're gonna have an interview, podcast interview coming out next week that should have came out today, but it didn't.
That's just we're busy. We're busy people.
The life we live. But it will be definitely coming out next week, and you'll definitely enjoy that. So look out for that as well. A lot of podcast action coming out next week. A lot of interviews hitting at you. We're doubling down on the interviews again. Had a little bit of a dry spell last couple of months, but we're hitting the ground hard and running to bring in 2014 with a lot of interviews.
Yeah, you had
So.
a great interview. I love the brother one, but the cat with Miley Cyrus has been a few other really fantastic interviews. And if I would also like to put in a word for anybody listening who wants to contribute to the database. The holidays are coming up. Maybe you have a little bit of downtime. You're sitting around with your family and you're thinking, I want to do something mindless but fun, contribute to the greater good. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be part of the industry or anything like that. Go to any page on IMDb, go to the bottom and click contributing to IMDb, and that'll give you a lot of options for, you know, getting involved, becoming a contributor, because we definitely need more people on that team to, and I think the holiday, if you are one of those people who enjoys relaxing by adding data to a database, then you will be very at home with the folks who are behind the data with IMVDB. We're growing our team, and it's a kind of a fun group to be part of. So, if you're interested in that, or if you are a busy producer or whatever, and you are working on music videos or what have you, then you know what to do. You go to the video, go to edit this page, add some credits, go, you know, submit a video, and we'll go through the moderation process with that.
Boom.
And yeah, we've actually seen a large uptick in submitted data to existing videos, so we're excited about that. So anyway, that's the breaks, and that's the end of our podcast. We'll see you guys next week.
See you.